Hello, and thank you for joining us for today's Rights Protection Mechanisms webinar. I'm Nicole Davenport, new GTLD Communication Manager for ICANN. Before we begin our discussion, I'd like to cover a few things. This webinar is being recorded. Recordings and supporting materials will be published on the new GTLD microsite. The running time of the webinar is 90 minutes. We'll start with a presentation and end with a question and answer session. You can ask a question via phone or in the Adobe Connect questions and comments pod. Questions submitted before the webinar will be addressed first, followed by phone questions, and then questions submitted online. Dial-in numbers can be found on the webinar page of the microsite at http://newgtlds.icann.org/webinars. The conference ID is Rights Protection Mechanisms Webinar. To enter the phone queue, dial star 1. To exit the queue, dial star 2. Please make sure that your phone is not on speaker when you ask a question. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Cyrus Namazi, VP, Domain Name Services.
Thank you, Nicole. Greetings, everyone. This is Cyrus Namazi, and today's webinar, as you know, is focused on RPM and Trademark Clearinghouse. The key objective of today's webinar is to actually provide a forum for discussion for us focused on operational and implementation-related issues of the RPM and TMCH, which is something that most of the applicants and other parts of the community are concerned with. So with that in mind, Karen Lentz is actually going to provide you some background information in the form of a presentation, and then we hope to have ample time to actually be able to answer any questions that are going to remain and remain unanswered. So with that in mind, I'm going to hand it over to Karen Lentz to kick this off for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Cyrus. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. As Cyrus mentioned, our objective today is to try to provide some clarification around both the RPM requirements document that was published about a month ago and the processes that are associated with that GTLD registries and registrars will be using. The agenda on this slide is basically the topics where we've been receiving questions. So we'll cover integration testing, submission of TLD startup information, sunrise periods, limited registration periods, and claims periods, as well as what are called launch programs. We've also been developing a frequently asked questions around these topics that we will be publishing after the webinar. And as is the usual practice with these webinars, we will post any questions, answers to questions that we received on the website afterwards. Next slide. So some background just briefly on the rights protection mechanisms. I think probably most people are aware when we talk about these RPMs in the new GTLD program, these were developed as part of the program. In particular, Sunrise and Trademark Claim Services are significant protections that exist during the startup phases of a new GTLD. And so the Sunrise and Trademark Claims are both required in all of the new GTLDs. Those are both supported by the Trademark Clearinghouse. We now have, over the past couple of years, been developing those. The Clearinghouse services are now operational in terms of being able to submit trademarks for verification, in terms of supporting the Sunrise, and in terms of supporting the claims periods. We've also developed a set of technical specifications for how those services are implemented by the registries and registrars. That link is on the slide. And then what we call the RPM requirements covers how the registries and registrars need to implement those services. And that document has been through a process of consultation and public comment over the last approximately 6 months or so, leading to the publication of the current version a month ago. Next slide. So going in essentially chronological order of when these steps will be occurring, beginning with integration testing. So this is something that's mentioned in the requirements, and the intention is to make sure that the registry systems and the clearinghouse systems are integrated, that they will work together in an accurate manner. So all of the new GTLD registry operators are required to go through the integration testing before opening up their Sunrise periods. The testing process for the registries consists of four elements. It includes downloading an SMD revocation list from the clearinghouse, downloading a domain name label list, that is the list of names that are subject to claims, and then uploading of what we call the Lorden files, the list of registered domain names. The registry in both the Sunrise and the claims processes will upload that list, and that is used by the clearinghouse to generate the notices that go back to the relevant rights holders who have records in the clearinghouse. A couple of points of clarification on this slide. With regard to the four elements of the testing process for registries, that does need to be those tests do need to be done using the actual TLD. So once the registry has signed the registry agreement, they will have the token for their actual TLD, and they can go ahead and do those steps. Also, in terms of who is required to do this, one of the questions we've gotten is, do these tests need to be repeated for multiple TLDs if it's the same operator that needs to operating these that has already been through the testing. So our approach to this, our expected approach to this, has been it's a new process. It has a number of parties interacting in terms of the registry, registrars, and the clearinghouse. And so our expectation was initially that we would have, you know, each time a new GTLD is going online, that those same set of tests has occurred. It's also our anticipation that there will be, you know, we'll reach a steady state where these sort of have become routine, and we'll feel comfortable to not require that in every case, since there's a good track record of already having things working. So there's not a specific set of criteria for when that point is, but we do anticipate that and have worked with IBM. That's their expectation as well, that we will be able to streamline that a little bit. Okay, so I'm being told that some people are having issues with the slides jumping or looping around. So we don't see that here, but we are looking into it. So sorry if you're experiencing that issue. The slide I'm speaking to is continuing on with the registry integration testing and initiating that. So another point to be aware of here, the registry can request the certification from IBM anytime it's ready to do so. So there doesn't have to be a specific point in time scheduled. Once the registry has done all of the four steps that comprise the test, they can request that certification from IBM. Next slide. Okay. Registrars will also undergo integration testing with the clearinghouse. This is to ensure that all of the party systems are interacting well. when it comes to the claims period. This testing would be required of all of the accredited registrars who are planning to register domain names during any of the new GTLD claims periods. The testing process for registrars includes three elements. One is the download of a SMD revocation list. Second is the download of a trademark notice, data using a lookup key from the registry. So that will provide the registrar with the data to populate the trademark notice that is provided to a potential registrant. And then finally, the registrar will need to provide a screenshot of an actual trademark notice using that data that has been downloaded from the clearinghouse. So once the registrar has compiled all of those things, the registrar can initiate a request the verification from IBM, who will notify us when that has been completed. And in both cases, on the slide on our website, you can find all of the details for how to access the test environment, more detail on those testing elements. Next slide. All right, next we'll go into TLD startup information. So this is something that each new registry will be providing to ICANN, which is information that ICANN will feed into a public portal to consolidate all of the TLD startup information as new GTLD registries are launching. This information that's required from everybody is the dates of the sunrise period, the complete sunrise policies for the registry, including the dispute resolution policy. We ask in that case that when you're providing the notice that you include the whole documents, not links to the documents. Also required are the dates of the claims period and the certification that I mentioned earlier that the integration testing with the clearinghouse has been completed. Optionally, the registry may be doing some one or more limited registration periods. So if that is the case, then the registry may provide that as well. How to go about sending this notice. The current process, you can submit it to the Customer Service Center using the new gtld@icann.org email address. People are probably aware, we have been building and are continuing to build the portal, which will have all of the consolidated information, and that will enable us to automate this process a little further. So that is will be announced when that is launched and available. Next slide. Okay. Then once ICANN has received the TLD startup information from the registry, these are the steps that we'll go through on our end. The notice can be provided to ICANN once the TLD has been delegated. The registry will go ahead and submit that information to ICANN, including the requested dates. So a step here is that ICANN will actually confirm the availability of the dates with IBM. So the registry does not have to do that in advance. They don't have to go through a separate step to get that confirmation. We've built it in so you can provide the dates once you are providing that information to ICANN, and we will either confirm the dates with IBM or go back to the registry if there's an issue with those dates. ICANN will do a pretty straightforward review of the TLD startup information. Essentially, what we're looking at is, one, whether the dates comply with the requirements in terms of the length and sequencing of the periods, and whether all of the required elements are included. So, for example, if there's no sunrise dispute resolution policy, we would be contacting the registry asking for the complete information. And once that review is completed, then ICANN would notify the registry of that and go ahead and publish the information. So in terms of a couple of other things to note in terms of ICANN's processing, one is we have a goal to turn this in around in a matter of days, business days, pretty quick. We don't have a a body of experience to say what the average turnaround time will be, but we do ask that you build in a little bit of time to for that processing so that there still will be 30 days of notice once it's published. Okay, next slide. Then once the TLD startup information has been submitted, we anticipate, and it does provide in the requirements, that there may be modifications or changes to that. Those can be provided using the same process. Any notice of changes can be submitted to the CSC using the new gtld@icann.org email address, and we'll be reviewing that in essentially the same way. So it's a very basic review and turnaround time. Next slide, please. All right, moving into the phases that the registry will do in its startup period. Starting with the sunrise. The sunrise period is required for all for each new GTLD. Once it's delegated, the registry does need to do the sunrise according to the RPM requirements, which are part of the agreement. All of the registrations that occur during the sunrise period must be based on a valid signed mark data file that's provided by the registrant. In terms of the sunrise registration policies, registries do have the ability to apply other types of restrictions besides the SMD file in the sunrise period. For example, they may choose to place date restrictions on when the trademark was applied for or issued. They may choose to place restrictions on the class of goods or services of the mark related to the TLD. They may be applying their community-based registration restrictions if those apply, and other types of eligibility requirements that they have for the TLD. And then in addition, as mentioned, every registry will need to have its own sunrise dispute resolution policy. Next slide. So one of the features in the RPM requirements is that there are a couple of options for the registry in terms of how they structure the sunrise. So there are two types here called the start date sunrise and the end date sunrise. A start date sunrise would be one in which the allocation of names would occur throughout the period. So when a registry is doing a start date sunrise, they will have a minimum 30-day sunrise period with a minimum 30 days notice prior to that. In the case of an end date sunrise, in that type of arrangement, the allocation of names would only occur at the end of the period. And in the case of an end date sunrise, there's a minimum 60-day sunrise period, and that can commence as soon as the notice is provided and accepted by ICANN. And in both cases, the notice occurs when that is submitted. Next slide, please. So this is trying to visualize what I just described in terms of the dates and the types of sunrises that can occur. So the top bar there is a start date sunrise where there's a 30-day notice period and a 30-day sunrise. The registry would not be allocating anything during the notice period, only during the 30-day or more sunrise. And then in the case of the end date sunrise, that could begin once the information is provided. The registry goes about or can go about collecting requests for names, and then those would the allocation would actually occur at the end of the period, and then the subsequent periods would proceed. Next slide. Okay, limited registration periods, another type of phase that's provided for in the requirements. What a limited registration period is intended to do is give the registry an opportunity to provide other types of priority once the sunrise has occurred in advance of names being generally available to everyone. So there are other types of criteria that can be defined by a registry during a limited registration period. These are optional periods. The registry may have none or may have many. A limited registration period may overlap with the sunrise, but all of the sunrise names must be allocated before any of the names in the limited registration period. So basically, if in the case of that overlap, the sunrise might, or the limited registration period might open for requests while the sunrise is still going on, but all of the sunrise names would need to be allocated before any of the limited registration period names allocation begins. And finally, during any of the limited registration periods, the registry does need to offer the trademark claims service. Next slide, please. All right, trademark claims period. This occurs during the first 90 days of general registration. What we mean by general registration is whatever the steady state is that the registry has determined it will use in the long term for registration in its TLD. So there are no longer any sort of special phases or special requirements, but it's into what is anticipated to be names being generally available. The claim service provides notification to a prospective registrant if a domain name that they are trying to register is matches a trademark clearinghouse record, and it will also generate notices to rights holders in the clearinghouse when a name matching their record is registered. So in terms of the trademark claims service, the registrar has obligations in this process to, when there is a name that's subject to a claim, to query the clearinghouse using the claims notice information service, use that data to display the claims notice to the registrant, and require acknowledgement from the registrant to proceed with the domain name registration. The query service, claims notice information service, is only intended to be used for the purpose of getting the data to provide for trademark claims notices. The claims notice template, the notice does need to be required in English. It's also expected that it can be provided in relevant languages to the registrant. ICANN has the template notice in the six UN languages, and that will be available to all the registrars. Okay, last area that we'll talk about is launch programs. So this is a process where if a registry is wishing to do a type of program that would not fit within the RPM requirements as they're written, the registry can submit a request for what it would like to do, and that can be reviewed and approved. The registry requests may be sent to the customer service center. We are working on that full process, which we will publish to have that available to everyone. There is, provided for in the RPM requirements, a presumption of approval in a couple of cases. One is where a registry has, in its application, provided detailed descriptions of their startup phases and how the program would work, and where there wasn't a significant concern or comment on that. And then additionally, where a certain launch program has already been approved for a TLD that's in similar circumstances, there's a presumption of approval. But we always reserve the right to consider requests on a case-by-case basis if something does need additional review or seem to raise unique issues. Okay, I think that concludes the presentation portion. I will turn it back to Nicole for the Q&A.
Thank you, Karen. We'd like to begin our question and answer period now. Wendy Proffitt will help us by reading questions submitted before the webinar.
The first question is, if registrars want to procure a domain name and a new TLD to participate in that TLD's sunrise period, and all of the 100 launch program domain names are allocated, how would a registry operator provide a registrar without a trademark with the opportunity to participate in their sunrise?
Thanks, Wendy. So there are a couple of, the question is approached from the point of view of a registrar, and I'll answer in a couple of ways. So one is any eligible trademark holder can participate in a sunrise. There may be registrars who are also trademark holders, and they would be participating in that capacity. If a registry were to be implementing a qualified launch program where they're allocating 100 names, before or during the sunrise, those names would be chosen by the registry, and that allocation is independent of the sunrise period. Also, from the perspective of a registrar in terms of participating, I'm sort of interpreting the question as participate as in sell names in the TLD. So that is a process where the registrar would enter into a registrar agreement with the registry to be able to sell names in that TLD.
The next question is, can ICANN provide examples of previous sunrise period policies to new registries and applicants?
Thank you. Yes, I think we can. In the written Q&A that we provide after the webinar, I think we can include some links to previous policies.
Thank you. If an end date sunrise is chosen by a registry operator and auctions ensue, will the registry have to complete all auctions and delegate all sunrise registrations before a registration token during a limited registration period can be delegated?
Thank you. So the question refers, it has a scenario where a registry is using an auction as part of the sunrise. I spoke about the case where there's some overlap between the sunrise period and a limited registration period. So in the case where the registry is doing an auction at the end of its sunrise, then, yes, it would be the expectation that all of those would be completed, all of the sunrise allocations would be completed before any domain names from a limited registration period would be allocated.
In Section 3.2.4, it states the registry operator must not allocate or register any domain names in a limited registration period. What does the word registration mean in reference to the term limited registration, i.e., what are the actual mechanics of what can be done, e.g., can money be accepted, and if so, for what during, quote-unquote, limited registration, since the sentence says no domain names can be allocated or registered?
Okay, thanks, Wendy. I think this question also, or the section 3.2.4 that's referenced also relates to the case where there's an overlap between a sunrise and a limited registration period. So in that case, the registry can be accepting requests for limited registration period names, but they would not be allocating any of those names until all of the names related to the sunrise have been allocated.
Thank you. Next question, how will the Trademark Clearinghouse Sunrise and Claims Operator notify registry operators of their assigned integration testing date?
Thank you. So ICANN will actually notify the registry operator of that in response to their submission of the TLD startup information. So as we have the process operating currently, the registry does not need to undertake a separate step to do that or to obtain that from the operator.
Next question, can a required turnaround time frame be assigned to the confirmation from the Trademark Clearinghouse Sunrise Claims Operator of completion of integration testing and acceptance of the start and end date of Sunrise so that this is not another bottleneck to submission of the TLD startup information?
Thanks, Wendy. So there are a couple of steps here. One is the confirmation from IBM that the integration testing has been passed, and then there is the step from confirmation from ICANN that the TLD startup info has been accepted. So, you know, the registry can submit its TLD startup information as soon as it has the confirmation of the completed testing. So that is at its discretion in terms of the timing. But on in terms of expected turnaround time, IBM has been responding within a few business days, I believe, in terms of confirmation on integration testing. So that's going pretty smoothly. And then, as I mentioned, ICANN is anticipating having a pretty streamlined process. We have a very basic, few steps to review it and the startup information once it's received and then publish that. So the goal is to not have a bottleneck in that for the registry.
Thank you. The last question of the pre-submitted questions is, how does the 120-day names collision delay impact the start of the Sunrise period and general registration? Is the 120-day block from contract signing still required if the SLDs noted in that TLD's name collision assessment are blocked by the new GTLD?
Thank you. So the question relates to name collision and whether what the interaction is of those requirements with the RPM requirements. So there should not be an impact on the actual timing of the periods and when those are scheduled to take place. The registry can still be accepting requests and or allocating names. What it would impact is the actual activation of the names, meaning that they'd be live in the zone or in the DNS. So the 120 days is in effect before any names in the TLD can be activated, with the exception, I believe, of NIC.
And we've finished the pre-submitted questions. Now we'll begin to take questions from the phone lines. Operator, could you please put through our first caller?
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the star followed by the 2. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your selection. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. If you are using speaker equipment, you will need to lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please. And our first question comes from the line of Amadou Abril with CORE. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Karen. Good afternoon, Cyrus, Wendy, and everybody. Good morning, I guess, for you there. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, Amadou.
Okay. Hello. Welcome back, Karen. I have some short-term questions, some long-term questions. So let me start with the long-term ones. I guess that nobody from IBM is there, but if we understood that correctly, it's IBM's right to decide whether the same provider needs to pass the TMCH test as registry once or per each TLD. And that's correct, but could you encourage IBM to provide some guidance on this issue? Because, frankly, we got different answers, and we know even that we can apply for an exception, but apparently we need to apply for an exception for each TLD, which, you know, doesn't help a lot, because then we are doing exactly the same thing, which is, you know, doing some days process for something that should be solved. So that's, you know, for the to-do list after the conference unless you have a clear answer now from IBM of how this will be handled. Now, going to the launch plans the launch program, can you provide any estimate of the timeline for approving or rejecting those launch programs? And explain why. If we need to go first to Trimark Clearing House and then to your start plan with clear start dates and end dates for our Sunrise, for instance, but we don't know how long it will take for the launch program, it's very difficult that we make a notification that really makes sense to the TMCH. So if it's 1 week or it's 2 months for approving or rejecting, it makes a huge difference on how we can plan this. So I'm not asking you to commit to exact dates, but whether you have some sort of guidelines you could provide on how long this could take. And that would be really very useful. And the last one, it's very silly, and I don't want to give you ideas, but what happens if somebody submitted an application and in question 18C, where it was explicitly asked about how you will solve conflicts in the launch period, you said this will be first come, first serve, and now you're doing a sunrise, which is end date, or the reverse. Does this registry need to apply for a change request? I guess not, because we are past the change request, but I am not sure, and I would like preventing accidents in this. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Amadeo. So I'll answer your three questions. The first one was regarding IBM and how they decide whether a provider needs to pass the test once or multiple times. Can we ask them to provide guidance? So absolutely, we have done that already, and we've been in pretty close dialogue with them on this with the goal of providing guidance. So I think we're fairly close to being able to do that. The second question was on the launch program and the expected turnaround time for when a request like that would be approved or not. And that's a, obviously a very valid question. We don't have we don't have any experience to go by in terms of how such a request. How long, what types of reviews and how, what types of issues might arise. So it's hard to predict exactly, but I can tell you that we have in mind the same goal you do, which is to make sure that those are turned around quickly enough to enable the registry to plan effectively and to be able to anticipate what the phases will be and publicize the information and all of the things that they want to do. So we'll be publishing that process shortly. It's drafted, and we expect to be making that available as soon as we can. Finally, the question on the start date versus end date sunrise and if that ends up differing from what was in the application, I think we will take that and provide some clarification on that in our written answers. Thank you, Amadeo.
Okay, Karen, if you allow me a very short last question, and that is very core-centric because we are the first in line in the delegation that want to do that. Do you have any expected time or between and between for clarifying what happens with the famous 100 names on 451. This the procedure that's not registry specific, but ICANN general approved for allowing these 100 names to be also used by third parties.
Okay, Amadeo. So do I understand your question? You're asking about the status of the qualified launch program for how the registry can use the So that's anticipated as well in the RPM requirements, and something that we are also expecting to be able to provide more information on shortly. So I don't have a, I unfortunately don't have an exact time frame on that, but it's, you know, as is indicated, we're trying to create a process to see whether a process like that can be developed that's feasible.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ray Fassett with Employee Media. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Ray Fassett, I have two questions. One is, are there, has ICANN published any minimum conditions that the registry operator must follow for the RPM DRP? That's one. And then two, on the limited registration period, that can run during general availability, correct? I mean, an LRP doesn't have to end before GA, right? So that's a question. Thanks.
Hello, Ray. Thank you. So two questions. One, in terms of the Sunrise dispute resolution policy that the registry uses. So other than what's in the RPM requirements, ICANN doesn't stipulate what that policy should be and how such disputes, you know, what types of disputes the registry would handle or what process the registry would use for those, primarily because they'll be different across each registry depending on what the allocation mechanisms are, what the policies are, what the verification steps are. So, you know, the requirement is that there be a procedure that gives parties an avenue to dispute or challenge something that has occurred during the registry sunrise, but it's usually pretty registry specific. Yeah. Secondly, the question was, can a limited registration period overlap with general registration? The answer to that is no, because the definition of general registration is or general availability is there are no other special restrictions that are in place. So once, you know, if there are restrictions like that in place, then it's a limited registration period. And if there aren't, then it's general availability. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rob Dykes with Neustar, Inc. Please go ahead.
Hi. This is Roy Dykes of Neustar. And Karen, welcome back. Several questions. After completing the TMD process, the testing process as a back-end provider, you said that we can expect to hear results within a few days. If it's taken longer than that, what's our recourse? And the next question is, to be clear, I'm understanding that the registry operators just simply need to attach all the startup information to the email. And then related to that, is did I hear you say that the registry operator does not need to provide proof of acceptance that ICANN will handle that? So that, does that make section 2.1.1.1 go away? I'm sorry, 2.1.1.2. And is it possible for a registry operator to do a 30-day notice for a 30-day end-date sunrise? Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Roy. Thanks for the questions. So I think there were four questions. The first was on the TMDB testing and what if it takes longer than a couple of days. So one thing to clarify is the request for certification is for the actual TLD. So the registry may be doing these steps with some one or more of their test TLDs, but the certification needs to occur with the actual TLD. So that's just a clarification. And then also, it's a few days from when the registry requests it. you know, so that there needs to be an active request. It doesn't happen automatically. So your question was, is, you know, what if it's taking longer than it should, and what's the recourse? So one, I would say that there are IBM support channels that a request can be escalated. And second, you know, there's always notifying ICANN that an issue is happening with that service. So that's the first question. The second one is about the startup information and attaching that to the email. So that's correct. That is the process that we are using currently. You would send it to the new gtld@icann.org email address, say, you know, including the required elements with the documentation attached to the email. Third was you asked, does the registry not need to provide proof of acceptance from IBM? And I apologize if that wasn't clear. So that does need to accompany the TLD startup information. So the email confirmation from IBM would be submitted to ICANN along with the TLD startup information. And then the last question, I wonder if you wouldn't mind repeating it. It was about 30-day, doing an end date sunrise that is 30 days with 30 days notice.
Before I repeat the last question, on the one that you just answered, as part of the startup information, the registry operator does need to provide acceptance from IBM. Is that what I'm hearing? And if so, what's the point of contact for getting that acceptance from IBM? And then to repeat the last question, is it possible for a TLD to provide a 30-day notice but also execute the sunrise as an end date sunrise that lasts 30 days?
Okay. So in terms of how you request the email from IBM, you would do that through the service desk. So that, you know, should be available to you already as a user of the clearinghouse. And then on the 30 day plus 30 days, if I understood it correctly, I think that would not be permissible because an end date sunrise would need to have an actual sunrise period of 60 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Chris Berry with CBMT. Please go ahead.
Hi. We've had some difficulty with the Trademark Clearinghouse just trying to find contact for vendor management. And as we get closer to this area, what we're worried about is more and more top-level domains going to be accessing these different areas for customer service. Are there any plans for ICANN and also Trademark Clearinghouse to start beefing up the customer service capabilities and providing contacts specifically for vendor management control?
Hello, Chris. Thanks for the question. So can I ask you for maybe one clarification? The clearinghouse operations are shared across a few entities. So we have Deloitte as the vendor performing the trademark verification. We have IBM as the vendor providing the sunrise and claims support services to registries. So are you speaking of one or the other or both of them?
Pretty much all of them. Basically, I keep getting passed off to some place in Switzerland. And so, you know, it's been a very difficult time trying to find an individual so that we can set up vendor-based contract with those entities, not only just to apply for the trademarks themselves. I mean, we're a large company, so we can't necessarily just put them on a credit card. And so we have to go through a specific vendor management process. So it's been fairly difficult trying to find an individual that has responsibility for vendor relationship within those companies. And then just and as a general comment, I'm hoping that as more and more customer service interactions begin, that there will be the ability for ICANN and for TMCH to actually handle it.
Thank you, Chris. So a couple of things. One is if you, you know, both Deloitte and IBM have contact pages and customer support, you know, resources that have been dedicated to providing those. If you have, you know, a specific issue in regard to any of that, you can submit it to newgtld@icann.org. We do, you know, monitor and track all of the questions that we are getting there. So that will receive the attention of an individual. Thanks.
Operator, do we have any more questions?
Our next question comes from the line of Jeffrey Eckhouse with Demand Media. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Hi, Karen. Hey, Cyrus. Had another question, maybe some clarification about the process for the waiver of the integration testing requirement in the TMCH. If a registry operator has previously completed the testing, so I guess in two parts. One, is that ICANN's decision, or is that IBM's decision, or is it a joint decision between the two? And I know you've said it's going to be soon, but is it possible to get some more specificity on when the timelines are going to be? Just because at this point, a lot of the registry operators are starting to really ramp up, and we're at everyone, I think, and I know I've heard this from many other back-end registry operators, we're at the point where it's either we have to build a process to do this, you know, script this test and do it over and over again, which is pretty much, I won't say useless, but it's just, you know, a scripted test that's going to happen versus getting that waiver if we've already passed. So I would ask if you could to, you know, if it's possible to fast track that or to give us some timelines on it, because operationally it becomes we're at a, you know, at an inflection point where we have to make a decision which way we have to go. And this is, I mean, of course it's my concern, but I've heard this from many other back-end registry operators. So hopefully you can give us some specific timelines on that, and then also I'll let you answer the first question as well about who's the decision maker on that waiver. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Jeff. Thank you. So in regard to, you called it a process for the waiver of the testing. So a couple of things to clarify. One is just, you know, until further notice, you know, we are going to expecting that every TLD will do the test. And what we see changing is not so much a case by case individual registry decision, does this registry have to test again or not, but more of a general approach that, you know, after a certain threshold or after a certain time period or what have you, you know, IBM would apply this sort of same analysis generally. So, you know, I completely understand the, you know, not wanting to invest in a system that's not really going to be needed. We are, you asked for a little more specificity on time. I think we're estimating we should be able to provide guidance on that next week.
Okay, great. Okay, great. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press the star followed by the 1 at this time. As a reminder, if you are using speaker equipment, you will need to lift the handset before making your selection. Our next question comes from the line of Stephanie Ducheneau with Fairwinds Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Quick question about claims notifications. The presentation states that the claims notification period will begin with the start of general registration. I'm wondering if there are going to be any notifications available to trademark owners registered in the clearinghouse during the limited registration period. Thanks.
Stephanie. Thank you. So yeah, that's an important clarification. There's a claims period which is required of all the registries where throughout that whole 90-day period, all of the rights holders with matching records in the clearinghouse will be receiving those notifications. Also, as I mentioned, during any of the limited registration periods, the claim service must also be operating. And so during any of those periods, yes, the rights holders will continue to, will also receive those notifications the same way they will during the 90-day claims period.
Thank you. And there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, and with that, we will move to questions submitted online. But before we go that route, I'd like to make the presentation available to you for download. So for those of you who are on Adobe Connect, you can, if you see the pod at the bottom of the screen called Files, you'll be able to download the presentation in PDF format. We'll go ahead and take our first Adobe Connect question now.
Okay, sorry. The first question from the Adobe Connect pod is from Tom Barrett. When will the public portal for TLD startup information be available?
Thanks, Wendy. This is Krista Papik. The Sunrise portal, as we're calling it, is in the final stages of development, and we anticipate launching it by early December.
Thank you. The next question from Michael Palage. Where does ICANN inform the community what type of Sunrise start date versus end date a registry has chosen?
Thanks, Wendy. It's Krista again. Hi, Michael. The community is informed of what type of Sunrise, whether it's a start date or an end date Sunrise, in the TLD startup information that's posted. Currently, that information is being posted on the registry's agreement page, but once the Sunrise portal is launched, that information will be visible through the interface that you can look at in the Sunrise portal.
Next question from Desiree Boxberger. Is there a standard form from ICANN that a registry operator needs to submit their startup data, or does the registry operator submit it in a Word document with all information in the RPM via portal?
Thanks, Desiree. It's Krista again. So there is a standard form that the registry operator must complete. This form will be provided to the registry operators. It currently is a Word document. However, once the portal is launched, the famed portal, registries will be able to log in and enter their own or enter their startup data directly into the portal rather than having to complete a Word document. Thank you.
The next question from John Nevitt. Karen, in slide 16 in the end date Sunrise, it states that competing Sunrise applications must be resolved prior to general availability. As long as the names in dispute are not available in GA, we assume that we need not delay GA pending an auction of two competing Sunrise names. Please confirm.
Hi, John. Yes, if I understood it, as long as the Sunrise registrations aren't any longer available in a future period pending the decision or auction or whatever mechanism, there wouldn't be a need to delay general registration pending that resolution.
Thank you. The next question from Dana Moe. On the 120-day block, is that from RA signing or in IANA database?
Yes, thank you. This is Cyrus Namazi. The 120-day no activation period begins from the date that the registry agreement is signed.
Thank you. Next question from Stephanie Duchesne. I'm sorry if I messed up her name, Stephanie. Fairwinds Partners. Will claims notifications be available during limited registration periods, or do they only commence during general registration once LRPs have concluded?
Thanks, Wendy. I think we answered that previously, but the answer is yes, the notices continue to occur whenever the claim service is operating, so that those would be received by the rights holders during a limited registration period.
The next question is from Elaine Pruis from Donuts. The slide says ICANN will confirm the dates with IBM.
Hi, Elaine. So the registry does not have to do a parallel interaction with IBM in terms of confirming the dates. You'll interact with ICANN in terms of providing the dates that you wish to have when you provide the TLD startup information, and those will either be confirmed by us or we'll connect back with you if there's a question. But yeah, the interaction with in terms of informing and confirming those with IBM will be done by us.
We have another question on the phone line. Operator, could you please help us out?
Absolutely. We have a question from the line of Ray Fassett with Employee Media. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ray Fassett. Actually, my question was answered. Thank you very much.
We have another question on the phone from Roy Dykes with Neustar, Inc. Please go ahead.
Hi. Recently, there was a question about a template form or a Word doc for the startup information. How does the registry operator go about getting that template? Thanks.
Hi, Roy. It's Krista. ICANN will provide that to the registry operator. We'll provide that to you.
At what point?
Upon delegation.
Okay.
Do we have any other phone questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have any questions, please press the star followed by the one at this time. And if you are using speaker equipment, you will need to lift the handset before making your selection.
Okay, we will go ahead and move back to questions submitted online. Wendy?
The next question from the Adobe Connect is, just to be clear about start date SR and end date SR, if you don't register DNs on FC, sorry, first come, first serve, sorry, but collect the applications and then allocate them at the end of the SR, you are considered an end date SR, yes?
So to restate what I believe the question is, relating to the distinction between a start date sunrise and an end date sunrise, when a registry is not doing a time-based or first-come, first-serve process, but is collecting applications and then allocating them at the end, the question is, this is considered an end date sunrise, and the answer is yes, that is. That would be considered an end date sunrise.
The next question from Dan and Rob. I don't want to purchase a GTLD, but want to protect my trademarks. With all these new top-level domains, How do I protect my trademark name? The trademarkclearinghouse.com site appears only to notify me of infringement. I'm responsible for then filing legal action. How effective is this when dealing with multiple countries and different laws?
So this is Karen Lentz. So this is a little bit of a broad question about the clearinghouse and how it can be used. A couple of points of note about the trademark clearinghouse. One is it's a repository that includes trademark information from all over the world. So it, does deal with multiple countries and different laws. The clearinghouse is not making any determinations regarding, one trademark versus another, but instead is collecting and compiling that information so that it can be used during the registry startup processes. The other question about, what sort of action does a rights holder need to take, or what would they, what type of notification would they get via the clearinghouse? And those services, the Sunrise and Claims in particular, the Sunrise does offer an opportunity for a rights holder to have to be able to obtain their desired domain names before they're available to the general public. And secondly, the claim service is really an information service, so it does not determine for a rights holder what sort of action would be appropriate in a given case, but it's intended to give timely information to the rights holders so that they can make an informed decision about the best type of action to take in a particular case.
Thank you. The next question is from Scott Harlan. Can you please repeat if submitted startup information is publicly available now, and if so, where?
Hi, Scott. It's Krista Papik. The startup information is publicly available and can be located on the at the bottom of the registry agreement page for the registry.
Thank you. The next question from the Adobe Connect room from Jim Pendergast. How will ICANN publicize the approved startup plans that deviate from the standard RPM requirements?
Hi, Jim. It's Krista. We will be publishing those along with the other TLD startup information. So you will initially see it on the registry agreement page, and then it would eventually be something that would be visible through the Sunrise portal.
The next question is from Kai. Hello, my question is, let's assume the registry reserves a domain that is identical to a trademark, famous or not, and releases it later after the Sunrise period expired. A, doesn't that prevent the trademark holder from getting the domain during Sunrise? And B, can the trademark holder force the registry to allocate the domain to him, meaning not having to start UDRP against the registrant?
Hello, Kai. Thanks for the question. So it's fairly specific in terms of how a particular scenario would play out. So I think it's probably best if we take a look at that and include that in our written answers. Thanks.
So at this point, we have answered all of the questions that have been submitted. If you have any additional questions, now would be a great time to go ahead and submit via the phone line or the Adobe Connect pod. We still have about 20 minutes available to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, it's star 1. If you wish to withdraw your question, press star 2. And if you are using speaker equipment, you will need to lift the handset before making your selection. We have a question from the line of Claudio DeGangi with IPC. Please go ahead. Pardon me, your line is open.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for this. My question had to deal with the notice period and when that starts for the start date sunrise. And I think you said it starts when ICANN receives the startup information from the registry. And I was thinking it would have started after ICANN approves that and publishes that information. Can you clarify that?
Yep. Hi, Claudio. Thank you for the question. So you're right. Really, when we were working on drafting this, our expectation would be that we would have the automated process already there. So there wouldn't really need to be any sort of delay between the registry providing the notice and that, you know, publication going out. As we've spoken about, we don't quite have that completely in place, and so we're using the process of submission by email, which involves a little bit more manual labor on our part. So, but the intention is to maintain the minimum 30-day notice, which is why I, suggested to the registries that they account for some processing time, so that you know, by the time the information is published, there's still at least 30 days between that and when the sunrise starts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Jacqueline Conrad with VeriSign, Inc. Please go ahead.
Hey there. We submitted a number of questions for the last webinar, and they were read, but none of them were answered. And so I'd like to ask a few of them again. So the first one is, under the Terms of Service Agreement for registries and registrars for access to the Trademark Clearinghouse, does ICANN consider a subcontractor who accesses the Trademark Clearinghouse on behalf of its client, the registry operator, a user under the Terms of Service or otherwise covered by Terms of Use?
Hello, I think Jacqueline, was it?
Yes.
Okay. I believe your question is, when a registry is going to access the clearinghouse services, they agree to a set of terms of service, and who is the actual user who's agreeing to that. Essentially the registry, when they're onboarding with us, will be providing a technical contact as well as some other contacts, and that is the typically the user that is accessing the clearinghouse services. So that whoever is agreeing is to the terms of service is considered the user.
Okay, so that means that a subcontractor who's accessing it on behalf of the registry operator would be agreeing to those terms of service as the user?
Yeah, as designated by the registry, the user entering into the terms of services is considered the user.
Okay. And I have another question. Is the registry operator that will run one that will run multiple TLDs expected to pay the one-time access fee for each separate TLD?
Yeah. So the access fee is a part of each individual registry agreement.
Okay.
So it is due for each TLD.
Okay, those are all my questions at this time. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions, please press the star followed by the 1 at this time. And I'm showing no further questions in the queue.
We have some additional questions coming in from the Adobe Connect pod. We will handle those in just a moment.
Next question from the Adobe Connect from Scott Harlan. The RPM requirements document says that the complete Sunrise registration policies must be provided in startup information, but this does not appear to have been collected so far. Is this not being made public?
Hi, Scott. It's Krista Papik again. Thank you for the question. Yes, that information has been collected. We just need to update the posting page to include it, so we'll make sure that that happens very quickly. Thank you. We have a few additional questions trickling in through the pod. Just one moment, please.
Okay, the next question comes from Mark Trachtenberg. For an end date notice, can you clarify whether any notice is required or can the registry simply commence Sunrise as soon as ICANN accepts the TLD startup information? And the only other way for the community to know about Sunrise starting other than from the registry would be by manually checking the TLD application status page of registry agreement area in the new GTLD portal and check to see if there's TLD startup info.
Hi, Mark. It's Krista. Thanks for the question. So that's correct. With an end date Sunrise, because it's a 60-day requirement for the entire period, there's a requirement for the end date Sunrise period to run for a minimum of 60 days. There is no notice requirement. And then to answer the second part of your question, you're also correct in that you would check the Sunrise portal to see what type of Sunrise period it is, meaning is it a start date Sunrise period or an end date Sunrise period, and then also to identify what the dates are that that Sunrise period begins and ends. Thank you.
So just a note, we got a response that the questioner did not hear the audio, so to please include it in the written responses, which we will do.
The next question is from Gilbert Hoover. With respect to the reservation of 100 names by the registry, what restrictions, if any, exist on the names that can be reserved by the registry?
Hello, Gilbert. Gilbert, thanks for the question. I'll make a clarification. The question could relate to a few areas. One is the provisions in the registry agreement for the registry to reserve names from registration. There's also a provision relating to 100 names for registry use. And then there's also in the RPM requirements specifically contemplated a qualified launch program which would permit the registry to be allocating up to 100 names prior to or during the sunrise. So I think we'll answer the question to clarify each of those in response to your question. We'll include that in our written responses. Thanks.
The next question is from Mark Trachtenberg. Until the Sunrise Portal is available in December, how can people find out when in-date sunrise periods start other than from the registry operator?
Hi, Mark. It's Krista again. Hopefully you're getting the audio this time. So right now we're posting the TLD startup information on the registry agreement page. We understand that that's not completely intuitive as to how people who are interested in sunrises and when they're beginning and ending can figure out what's happening in the interim between now and when the sunrise portal is available. So we're working on pulling something together where we can make it more clear so you don't sort of have to search through the ICANN website looking for the information. So we should have something like that available for everyone, the public, shortly.
We have about 5 to 6 minutes remaining. If you have any additional questions, please let us know now. Otherwise, we will go ahead and wrap up.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions over the phone, please press star 1 at this time. And as a reminder, if you are using speaker equipment, you will need to lift the handset before making your selection.
Okay, we don't have any additional questions. Thank you so much for joining us for today's webinar. And the questions that we were unable to address during the webinar will be published on the new DTLD site shortly, as well as the presentation, the audio recording, and the Adobe Connect recording. In addition, we will have an FAQ to you shortly as well. Thank you all. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the Rights Protection Mechanisms webinar. We thank you for your participation, and at this time, you may now disconnect.